The sermon text this morning, or the sermon, is based on both the first and the second readings that we had before us today. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'd like to begin our sermon this morning by saying, yesterday I was mowing my grass. And when you're mowing your grass, you get to do a lot of thinking. And I was thinking, but as I was mowing, I looked down, and in front of the mower was a little robin's egg. This had absolutely nothing to do with the sermon, by the way. There was a little robin's egg cracked open and laying on the in the grass. Obviously, it had been blown out of the tree by the wind, or maybe a crow or something had gotten into the nest and kicked it out and pecked at it or something of that nature. And it reminded me of Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And are not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more of value than many sparrows. And I just thought it was just kind of amazing how even the littlest thing, how the littlest thing like a robin's egg on the ground can remind you of the scriptures and bring the scriptures to the forefront of your mind and find there just a little bit of comfort in your daily life that God has not forgotten about you and that indeed you are worth more than many sparrows and that the very hairs of your head are numbered. Just thought that was pretty interesting yesterday. Anyway, today is St. Peter and St. Paul, the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul. Now, it's true that we don't invoke the saints, we don't pray to the saints, but we do remember them as heroes of the faith and examples of the Christian faith and living out the Christian life that we can follow. We can follow their conduct in life and in spirituality. Now, technically, all Christians who believe in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation are saints. So each and every one of you are one of God's saints, whether they be living or dead. Remember when we have communion, we say, therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Those are the saints, all the company of heaven are the saints who have gone before us into heaven and who are before the throne of God, praising him in his kingdom. However, the church has often recognized individuals who boldly confessed the faith or gave up their lives in defense of the faith, or refused to turn their back on Christ when they were commanded by worldly authorities to reject them. So we, for our part, remember those saints in much the same way we remember fallen service members on Memorial Day. And it's in that way that we remember St. Peter and St. Paul for having given their lives in service to the church. LCMS Air Force Chaplain Theodore Kleinhaus writes of St. Peter and Paul in his book, The Year of the Lord, The Church Year and Its Customs and Ceremonies. He writes, in pious legend, both Peter and Paul met death at the hand of the Roman Emperor Nero, who, it is said, instigated the persecution of Christians, blaming them for the great fire that destroyed nearly three-quarters of Rome in the year 64 AD. Peter was said to have been crucified in the Colosseum. His distinction, tradition tells us, was that he said he did not feel worthy to be put to death in the same manner as his Lord, and his crucifiers accommodated his wishes. And instead of crucifying him with his head facing the sky, they crucified Peter upside down. In Michelangelo's painting, The Crucifixion of Peter, a painting that's on the walls of the Pauline Chapel of the Vatican, Peter is painted in such a way as that he's laying on his cross upside down, being dragged by Roman soldiers, and at the same time, he's lifting his head off of the cross and turning it and craning his neck in such a way as that the eyes look right at you as you look at the painting there in the chapel of St. Paul. And as Timothy Gray of St. Augustine Institute writes, it's as if Peter is asking, are you ready to die for Christ? Are you ready to follow Jesus all the way from your Galilee to your Golgotha? Are you ready for the cost of discipleship? To the clergy, Peter's eyes implore, are you ready to be a good shepherd, even if it means dying for your flock? because that is what following Christ could potentially mean and where it could lead. St. Paul, on the other hand, was a Roman citizen. And as a Roman citizen, he was exempt from the horrors of crucifixion. Therefore, St. Paul was likely executed by beheading, a beheading that took place outside the city walls of Rome. It is safe to assume that no matter what kind of death St. Paul faced, he was prepared to meet his fate, for he wrote in Philippians chapter 1, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I'm going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Put in encapsulated, Paul says, if I die, I get to go be with Jesus. If you throw me in prison, I get to tell people about Jesus. And if you let me go, I get to tell more people about Jesus. Paul was ready to go wherever the Lord had sent him. Paul's death could have been unrelated to Nero's persecution after the great fire, but no matter how he met his death, Paul's life laid a crucial foundation for the Christian faith. And St. Peter and St. Paul's day on June 29th neither marks the day of one of their births nor the day of one of their deaths. Instead, June 29th is said to mark the day that the Emperor Constantine removed their bodies from where they had been buried and had them brought to the city of Rome, for Constantine was the first Christian emperor. He had them brought to Rome and laid to rest in basilicas that he had built for them. They were buried in churches built to their memories. So today we commemorate these men, the apostles, who lived their lives to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ and literally gave their lives as martyrs for the Christian faith. The reading from the book of Acts and the reading from the book of Galatians for today shows us just how they contended for the truth of the gospel message against those who would have put the church back under the yoke of the Mosaic law and the slavery to the law of Moses. Because one of the great controversies in the early Christian church was over whether or not non-Jewish people, that is the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, the Gentile converts to Christianity, needed to become Jewish first, then follow all the laws of Moses, or if they could go straight from being a worshiper of Zeus or Jupiter and go straight into being a worshiper of Jesus Christ and become Christians that way. Now remember, there are three types of law that we are bound by, or that the Jews were bound by. They were the law of Moses, that is the ceremonial law with its sacrificial system, with all of its do's and its don'ts and its human regulations that sprung up around these laws, such as how far you could walk on the Sabbath day or what it was exactly that constituted work. Then there's the civil law and the moral law. These are the types of law that we are under. Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law, but we are still under the moral law and the civil law. That is, you know, we're not going to murder anybody and we obey the government. These are things that are important for us. And while Jesus fulfilled that ceremonial law, being perfect in the final sacrifice for the sins of the world, yes, we do still obey the moral and civil laws. What Paul ran into, though, was a group of people that were very zealous for the law, and they were saying that to be saved, a person had to first become a Jew. Now, that entailed being circumcised. Paul maintained that a person can go from worshiping pagan gods straight to being a Christian without converting to Judaism first. But what was the big deal? What was going on? What was really at stake? What was at stake was the person and the work of Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do? Is Jesus enough for you to be saved? Or is there going to have to be you and Jesus together? Or a piece that you do and a piece that Jesus does? So what was at stake was the very gospel of Jesus Christ, the very good news that Jesus has earned our salvation for us. It was a mighty thing that was at stake. It was a massive thing that was at stake. And it's a very important question. Does salvation consist of Jesus alone, or is it Jesus and me together? For that would be a form of works righteousness. And while this might seem obvious to us, works righteousness is not good in being that it implies or outright states that the work of Jesus on our behalf for our salvation wasn't enough. There was something that we needed to add to it. So this led to the first great church conference. The church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas and several other leaders of the congregation to Jerusalem to talk to the elders and the apostles at Jerusalem. They had a public discussion based on their experiences and the searching of Scripture before a formal decision was made. It was a good example to the church of how to figure out and handle dissensions among the people of God. Peter testified from personal experience at the house of Cornelius that Cornelius' family was given the Holy Spirit, just as the Jewish believers had been given the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and that God arranged for the Gentiles to be brought into the Christian church. You see, God saves Jew and non-Jew alike. God saves Jew and Gentile alike by the grace of Jesus Christ. Peter concluded that the Gentile converts did not need to go and become Jewish first and follow all the Jewish laws and then become a Christian. He believed that the converts should not be burdened with the yoke of the law. Paul and Barnabas upheld Peter's argument with their personal testimony and related what wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. The whole end of the matter is that Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses, and that non-Jewish converts to Christianity did not need to become Jewish first. Recognizing that in Christ there was neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, but rather that they were all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, June 29th, we recognize all the works that God did through St. Peter and St. Paul to build up and to establish the Christian church. We remember the trials and the tribulations that St. Peter and St. Paul endured, that they both gave their lives in service to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And following their sainted example, may we each also be ready to give our lives in service to Christ and to his church. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.